Baruma hunched behind the rocks and peered over the top of them. She scanned with her eyes from corner to corner of the murky cave. Her eyes were playing tricks on her as shadows and silhouettes jumped out at her from the various shades of darkness. She thought she saw something move, heard a telltale sound, some signal that she was not alone. She had waited for the dust to settle, all while hearing the muffled death cries of her companions on the other side of the rock barrier. At least two, maybe three, were crushed by the dead fall of rocks. Their deaths were a mercy. The remainder were cruelly killed by the kobold clan that fell upon them amidst the confusion. Now she was the only one remaining. There were 12 members of the Circle of Swords adventuring group which entered the cave and tunnel system in Luolia on their way to treasures beyond, and maybe with the idea to root out its inhabitants and loot what valuables could be found. Now with the passage completely blocked with fallen rock, she had no alternative but to head back through the deadly gauntlet the cave had become. Baruma slipped out from behind her sanctuary of rocks and crept out into the cave chamber. Normally she'd have her back along one wall, but she learned that the small dog-faced reptilian terrors had dug passages to run along the walls and cut out holes to throw spears or launch poison darts through. They also had crawl spaces where they could sally out in ambush and then melt back in again into the shadows before her group could rally a defense. So she silently moved in the middle of the chamber, looking to either side, above, to the floor as she moved. She came upon the pit in the floor. That hateful pit, which still reeked of burnt flesh. Kuopa was on point when the false floor gave away and he fell down into the pit. As they heard him splashing in the knee-deep liquid, Uri had remarked how they were lucky that it wasn't filled above the head with water. Lucky! Drowning would have been preferable. Uri and Kuolet held onto their rope line to anchor it for Kuopa to climb out. The rest were stupidly looking around, trying to figure out how to get past the pit and continue on through the cave tunnel system. That's when the little demon sallied out and pushed Uri and Kuolet into the pit. And then, after engaging in a short skirmish to make us all forget the pit, they lit it on fire. She could still hear the cruel yapping from above when the bastards dropped a flaming brand into the liquid, which turned out to be fat oil, and ignited it into flame. Kuopa, Uri, and Kuolet were covered in the stuff sloshing around in the pit, and she could still hear their screams while the rest of them were helplessly occupied fending off the skirmish. The ambush was a distraction tactic, and none were injured when the kobold slipped away. But three of the Circle of Swords adventuring group were met with fiery deaths in that pit. They were finally able to cut footholds into the rocks and pound spike handholds into the wall in order to get past the smoldering pit. The work was done fearfully while others stood on alert for another attack. Looking at the pit, she recalled how she needed Onet to reach out and give her a hand as she crossed over the first time. She thought of how Onet had perished in the rock fall in the chamber behind, and now there was no one to give her help on her way back. And would there be kobolds waiting in the shadows to push her into the pit once she made it to the other side? She shivered as she carefully set the toes of her boots into the first of the footholds and tested the handspike to make sure it was secure into the wall. Crossing the pit, hugging the rock face with her back to the chamber while breathing in the smell of her burnt comrades was unnerving and exhausting. And when she made the final hop onto the other side, Baruma collapsed into a huddle and nearly cried, though she dared not utter any sound lest she alert her shadowy enemy. Leaving behind the fumes of the pit chamber, she sidled around the corner and looked into the next passageway, which was extremely narrow and impossible to traverse except shuffling sideways with her face pressed into the solid wall and rock protrusions sticking into her back. The passage allowed for a sudden spear thrust by a waiting kobold through a murder hole, and it made it even worse when Tutkim was severely wounded by a spear and the crevice way was blocked by his inert body and had to be physically dragged through. Aruma used the rock protrusions as footholds and climbed above the cave floor, imagining she'd been above the holes in the wall, and struggled through the passage, not knowing if it had even been worth the extra exertion. When she emerged into the next chamber, she was covered in scrapes and sweat and her own blood. After a short rest, Aruma thought ahead to the next passage, which was certainly wider, but in it, the group had been shot with small needle-pointed darts, which they had discovered were tipped in poison. Carcia took a dart in the neck, and it was the first time they were even aware that the kobolds were in the cave. At first, he was annoyed at the minor wound, but then soon his knees began to buckle, and he fell onto the ground, confused and disoriented. The others had rushed ahead to the turn in the passage to avoid the onslaught, but then came the awful realization that one or more had to run back to retrieve Carcia from the passage. Tuska and Kipu made a makeshift cover of stretched cloak and blanket, and though they managed to wrestle the delirious Carcia through the onslaught in the passage without getting hurt themselves, Carcia finally succumbed to the poison and died in a wheezing sweat and blood. Recalling that, Aruma looked around frantically, noticing Carcia's body was not where they left it. Clearly, they had drug him back to their warrens, where they stripped him of everything they found useful. And who knows, cut up his body for animal trap bait and made tools and weapons from his bones? Aruma saw more than one spear wielded by the yipping tormentors tipped with a sharpened bone. At first, she thought to crawl through the passage, and perhaps the holes for shooting darts wouldn't allow them to aim low enough to harm her. But she decided against this, as the reptilian foes seemed to have accounted for any contingency, and something so simple they would have provided ample measures to defeat such an attempt. Instead, she decided she would make a run for it. That would make it harder to see her coming and to aim as she flashed by the stations for firing darts, and as opposed to entering the caves where they didn't know what lay beyond, which precluded running blindly ahead into a gauntlet of death, she knew what lay ahead before her on the return trip. Aruma bolted into a limping run, and in her imagination she thought she heard darts sailing past her head as she lumbered along and expected to feel the sudden sting of a needle into her soft skin. But no darts issued from the hidden holes. And she made it through the passage without incident. In her elation, she realized there were no more traps that they had encountered in the tunnels, and she kept running with the excitement of being able to put these hated tunnels behind her and be out and free. Aruma turned past a bend in the passageway, and there was only one more turn and she would be out. But as she cleared the corner, she expected to see a clear path through the rocks, but instead there was a cluster of boulders in the way. She stopped her run and stood, panting breaths and trying to understand what was before her. Behind the rocks, she could see the bobbing of little dog-shaped reptilian heads with reddish glowing eyes. She saw spears sticking out from the boulders in a defensive picket. She saw dart blowpipes aimed toward her. She saw other bone weapons wielded by anxious hands, and the reddish glow of cruel eyes. It was then that Aruma realized that the kobolds had positioned themselves to block the exit of the tunnels as soon as her group had passed through. There was never any escape the moment her group had entered, and it was just a matter of time as they continued through the deadly gauntlet that they would all succumb to the cave demons. She dropped to her knees, and her mix of alternately laughing and crying before the tactical wall confused the defenders. They hesitated where normally they would have immediately rushed forward for the finish. Eventually, inevitably though, the tunnel would be cleared, and the reptilian clan of tiny cave dwellers would reset their traps, their pits, their deadfalls, and assume their ambush positions. For the next intruders that entered the kobold tunnels with the idea of rooting out its inhabitants and loot what valuables could be found, they would be ready.
You've been listening to Kobold Caves of Luolia, a side quest short story of the Dungeons & Damsels series by Unchained Productions, written and directed by David Ian. Voice talent by Danny Baldwin. Sound engineering by Dino D'Elfwell. Sound design by David Ian. Theme by Ron Perovich. Music by Mark Rose. Tunnels of Luolia is a side quest short story of the Dungeons & Damsels series by Unchained Productions.